welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza in Washington, working on this program via remote. Here are some of the top stories making news across South Sudan and Sudan this Friday, September 2nd, 2022. The body monitoring South Sudan's 2018 peace agreement approves the extension of the country's transitional period for 24 months.
37 out of 42 members present today voted in favor. 5 did not vote, while 1 is absent.
And 9 people were killed in Sudan's Blue Nile state.
Unfortunately, the clashes have renewed once again, but this time around, it took different ways. There is no confrontation as in the previous time, but up to this morning, at least 9 bodies were found killed.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. Members of the reconstituted Joint Monitoring and Evaluation Commission, the body monitoring the implementation of South Sudan's peace agreement, approved the extension of the transitional period by 2 years. The members of the peace monitoring body also approved the government's new roadmap. Sheila Pony has more for VOA from Juba.
The reconstituted Joint Monitoring and Evaluation Commission approved the extension of both the transitional period and the tenure of the transitional government of national unity by 2 years by majority vote. Members were asked 2 questions. Do you, as RJMEC members, want to decide on the extension of the transitional period today or after 3 months to allow the Artigono time to consult with citizens before an extension? And do you, as RJMEC members, consent or not consent to the extension of the transitional period effective 23rd February 2023 to 22nd February 2025? The Interim Commission Chairperson, Charles Tai Gitwai, announced the results.
37 out of 42 members present today voted in favor. 5 did not vote, while 1 is absent. Article 8.4 of the ARACRIS requires that at least 2/3 of the voting members consent to the amendment. Therefore, according to the procedure set out in the revitalized agreement, the motion was carried.
Akoch Ajang, who represents the South Sudan Civil Society Alliance, welcomed the vote.
That we must endorse the 24-month extension. This is the way forward. There are no shortcut. We need to rally behind the parties to the peace agreement. We need to work hard with the government of national unity to make sure that the agreement is implemented.
The TRICA countries, the United States, the United Kingdom and Norway, declined the vote. Government spokesman and information minister Michael Makwe criticized the TRICA for abstaining.
For the TRICA to decline to vote, originally the TRICA is not a signatory to the agreement. And they are not even supposed to be sitting here. But we allow them to sit. And if they have come here in order to obstruct our own initiative and they abstain from it, then we will continue without them if they so wish.
Makwe says the 2018 peace agreement will continue to be implemented by his government without the involvement of the South Sudanese Alliance, and cited the U.S. decision to halt funding for peace mechanism once the 2-year extension was announced. Ismail Wise, the Intergovernmental Authority on Development's Special Envoy for South Sudan, says IGAD is more committed more than ever before to help South Sudan transition from conflict to democracy. He asked RJMEC to add the government's initiatives to implement the peace process over the next 2 years.
What is the choice if we don't support the roadmap today? In the next 4 months, we cannot hold any elections. This is impossible. If we don't go for elections in the next 4 months, what is the next step?
Speaking on behalf of the IGAD Members Forum, Marjon Schepers, who is also Ambassador of the Netherlands to South Sudan, said South Sudanese deserve a unified and professional military and police who are willing to protect them.
The people of South Sudan deserve a national constitution that reflects their interests and values. The people of South Sudan deserve to benefit from sound public financial and resources management, including transparent management of oil revenues and the provision of basic government services.
Chepaz says IGAD Forum members recognize what she described as several engaging signs that show a new spirit of cooperation for the betterment of the people of South Sudan.
Such signs include the April 3 agreement on a unified security command structure, the graduation of the first tranche of unified security forces on August 30, the suspension of the SPLM-IO's boycott of the revitalized Transitional National Legislative Assembly, and the decision to retable those bills passed during the boycott, including the Political Parties Act and the Constitution-Making Process Bill, and indeed the agreement on the roadmap.
Last month, parties to the 2018 peace deal agreed to extend their mandate by 2 years to complete the political, security, and electoral reforms needed to move the country forward beginning February 22, 2023 and ending in February 2025. For VOA News, I am Sheila Oponi in Juba.
Still in Juba, the United States, the United Kingdom and Norway, known as the Troika countries, say South Sudan's leaders were wrong to extend the life of the transitional government. The Troika said in a joint statement, the South Sudan government did not postpone the approval of the extension to demonstrate that new commitment will be different from the last few years. Deng Aideng has details for VOA from Bor.
Last month, the SPLM in government, led by President Salva Kiir, SPLM-IO, led by Riek Machar, and other parties to the peace deal, agreed to a new roadmap which extends the transitional government by another 2 years. In an extraordinary session in Juba yesterday, the members of the South Sudan Peace Monitoring Body, the reconstituted Joint Monitoring and Evaluation Commission, voted to extend the transitional period and term of the unity government by 2 years from February 23, 2023 until February 22, 2025. The Troika countries, which are members of the RJMEC, said they could not support the extension at this time because they require further evidence of the government's commitment to deliver on the new roadmap and fully implement the agreement. Reading the Troika statement, Molik Berkana, public affairs officer at the U.S. Embassy in Juba, said South Sudan leaders should not have extended their tenure without convincing South Sudanese with good reasons why they failed to deliver on their commitments for the past 4 years.
We recognize that the ARARCUS, as an agreement, continues to represent an opportunity to build peace and stability in South Sudan. Our lack of support for the proposed extension in today's extraordinary RJMEC meeting does not diminish our commitment to the South Sudanese people's quest for peace, prosperity, and democracy. We call on South Sudan's leaders to shoulder their responsibility. To date, the ARARCUS has prevented a return to large-scale conflict, but it has not delivered democracy, peace, justice, or opportunity for the South Sudanese people. They are paying the price for non-implementation through the extreme levels of violence and abuse visited upon civilians across the country.
The Troika countries say they regret the parties did not postpone ratification of the extension of the transitional period to give the government time to demonstrate that the commitment in the new roadmap will be different from the past.
We regret that the government did not postpone ratification of the extension to give time for them to demonstrate, through sustained action and results on the ground, that the new commitment as set out in the roadmap will be different from the last few years. We regret also that the government did not take the opportunity for meaningful engagement with civil society and other agreement stakeholders, which we believe increases the chances of successful implementation.
Berkana says Troika members remain in close coordination with the European Union and its member states, regional partners and other stakeholders, and they are convinced that the path to ending the suffering of South Sudanese and achieving their goals is through full implementation of the R-Access.
We support the government's commitment to a roadmap to make the best use of the remainder of the original time frame for the agreement and clarify how it would use any additional time from an extension. South Sudan's leaders must now deliver the results that they promised in the timeline they committed to through the roadmap. They must also dedicate sufficient resources to the agreement's implementation.
The Troika reiterated their call to non-signatories of the 2018 agreement to engage constructively in the peace process. They also urged South Sudan's friends and partners to strengthen their monitoring of progress, saying each missed benchmark will further call into question the political commitment of South Sudan's leaders. For VOA News, I am Deng Gaiding in Bor.
Authorities in Sudan's Blue Nile state have declared a curfew in two towns Thursday after 9 people were killed and more than 20 injured during fresh intercommunal clashes. The Blue Nile Civil Society Network condemned the killings and has called for calm in the area. Michael Atit has more for VOA from Khartoum.
An eyewitness in Ganis, east of Blue Nile State, who does not want to be identified by his real name for security reasons and whom we are calling Musa, says at least 9 people have been killed in different neighborhoods in Ganis East and 23 were injured since yesterday. Speaking to this program by phone, Musa says some citizens were killed inside their homes at night. He says families who have returned home in recent days after being displaced during July's clashes are now going back to the IDP camp.
Unfortunately, the clashes have renewed once again, but this time around, it took different ways. There is no confrontation as in the previous time, but up to this morning, at least 9 bodies were found killed.
South Sudan in Focus could not independently verify his statement. In July, intercommunal clashes erupted between the Hausa and Berti tribes in Blue Nile, killing nearly 100 people and injuring about 200 others. Sudanese government authorities deployed security forces in the area to restore calm. The Blue Nile State government declared a curfew in Ganis and Eroseres area yesterday from 8 p.m. to 5 a.m. until further notice. The Blue Nile Civil Society Network condemned the renewed clashes and called for calm. Speaking via messaging application from Aldamazin town, Ali Haju, the secretary of the Blue Nile Civil Society Network, says the group rejects any form of violence to resolve problems.
As civil initiative, we condemn and reject any form of violence among people. We have been advocating for forgiveness, reconciliation, peaceful coexistence, and rebuilding a social fabric among all communities in the Blue Nile region.
Had you called on all communities in the Blue Nile to refrain from violence and use peaceful mechanisms to resolve disputes? He says authorities should immediately identify the perpetrators and bring them to justice.
There is no need for racist prejudices and hate since a ceasefire has been announced. This time is meant for dialogue, reconciliation, and building social fabric. Then people can reach total consensus.
The Blue Nile State, which borders Ethiopia, is one of the strongholds of the SPLM North faction led by Malik Agar, who now serves as a member of the Sovereign Council in Khartoum as part of the Juba Peace Agreement. For VOA News, I am Michael Atit in Khartoum.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. Coming up, the new U.S. ambassador to Sudan wants good relations with his host country. Stay tuned for that story after the break.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. question today.
Do you offer advice to your siblings? If so, what kind of advice?
Yes, I advise my siblings. I tell them to be respectful to everybody, old and young alike.
Yes, I advise my siblings. I tell them not to waste money, but to be careful in the way they handle money. I also tell them to give to people who are in need.
Hard work always pays. And if you work hard, at the end you realize something that you didn't expect. So that's the single piece of advice that I offer to my siblings.
I always tell them to they work hard in school. Then, of course, they should be open in case they want anything or lack anything.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. The new U.S. ambassador to Sudan says he will strengthen relations with the Sudanese people. John Godfrey, who arrived in Khartoum last week to take up his post, said he expects the formation of an inclusive civilian government in Sudan in the near future. For VOA News, Michael Atit reports from Khartoum.
Ambassador John Godfrey presented his credentials to Sudan's military leader Abdel Fattah al-Burhan on Thursday in a ceremony at Sudan's presidential palace in Khartoum. Lieutenant General Abdel Fattah al-Burhan, chairman of the Transitional Sovereign Council, welcomed the decision by the United States government to appoint an ambassador to Sudan after a 25-year absence. Al-Burhan stressed the importance of developing relations between Khartoum and Washington and says he hopes Godfrey's appointment will represent a new impetus for a better relationship between the two countries. Speaking to reporters shortly after the ceremony, Ambassador Godfrey said his arrival in Khartoum demonstrates the commitment of his government and its citizens to strengthen relations with the government and the people of Sudan.
I am so happy to be the new ambassador of the United States in Sudan after more than 25 years. I am happy to have this opportunity to work in Sudan and get to understand its people and their cultures more closely.
John Godfrey was named by the White House as the new ambassador to Sudan in early January. The U.S. Congress approved his appointment in July. Ties between the U.S. and Sudan were severely strained under the three-decade rule of ousted President Omar al-Bashir, who was indicted several years ago by the International Criminal Court in The Hague for war crimes and crimes against humanity in Darfur. Washington imposed tough economic sanctions on Khartoum. The U.S. government blacklisted Sudan in 1993 as a state sponsor of terrorism as the Bashir administration hosted Al-Qaeda founder Osama bin Laden for 5 years in 1990s. The ambassador's arrival comes as Sudan reels from deepening unrest and a spiraling economy since last year's military coup led by Al-Burhan. Godfrey says the U.S. government hopes to see an inclusive civilian-led government restored in Sudan to complete the remaining transitional period.
We expect to see the establishment of a new government led by civilians in Sudan within a comprehensive dialogue that supports all Sudanese political parties, including the democratic supporting forces.
Salma An-Nur, who heads the media and information of the Forces for Freedom and Change, or FFC, a coalition of Sudanese political parties who played a key role in the ouster of former President Omar al-Bashir, welcomes the appointment of Ambassador Godfrey. She says Godfrey's appointment is the fruit of hard work carried out by the transitional government led by former Prime Minister Abdallah Hamdok. An-Nur says the ambassador will no longer hear reports about Sudan, but will be an eyewitness to all what is going on in Sudan. She says the ambassador will come to know that Sudanese people are longing to achieve the objectives of December's revolution, reach a complete civilian-led government, and return to a democratic transformation. Before becoming U.S. ambassador to Sudan, Godfrey worked as the acting counterterrorism coordinator and acting special envoy to the Global Coalition to Defeat ISIS. He formerly worked as the acting deputy chief of mission and a political consulate at the U.S. embassy in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, and as the deputy secretary of state's chief of staff. Godfrey also worked for international organizations in Baghdad, Iraq, Tripoli, Libya, and Damascus in Syria. For VOA News, I am Michael Atit in Khartoum.
We'd love to hear your remarks on issues in this broadcast. My colleague Nabil Biagio is ready with this week's listener comments. Over to you, Nabil.
Thank you, John. Nearly all of you weighed in this week on our coverage of the graduation of the first batch of unified forces, such as Jacob Dior Machweng in Rumbek in Lake State, who says, "The graduation of the unified forces is a positive step towards the implementation of security arrangements. All we ask these forces as citizens of this country is to work in unity as a national army, not for a particular party." Mabor Alad Rengo from Rumbek says, "Hello VOA News Desk. The graduation of unified forces on Tuesday indicates that one of the chapters of Artigono has been implemented, which is security arrangements. Therefore, these unified forces have to be paid enough money monthly as well as providing them with medication to avoid them causing insecurity." Dun Majong Gurwai, who also hails from Rumbek, says, "Hello VOA, the graduation of unified forces is the first step to peace implementation in South Sudan, but the high crime rate will increase in the country if the salaries remain low." Mading Malwal Alwong from Malakal Town says, "We the citizens welcome the graduation of the first batch of necessary unified forces, but our message to the government is to improve their living standards with good and attractive salaries compared to neighboring countries so that they protect our nation rather than unnecessary activities. The giant and brave soldiers who sacrificed their dear lives for this country during the liberation struggle." Daniel Dundagbai from Rakmajok in Lake State says, "Hello VOA, the Tuesday graduation of unified forces at Dr. John Garang Mausoleum is a wake-up call for all our politicians who are not signatories to the peace deal. It calls on the likes of King Paul Malong, Pagana Mum, Tri Loi Tang and other rebel groups to come back home and join their colleagues in implementing peace in South Sudan, because everything is solved through dialogue, not bullets." Mal Adaumal in Bortown writes, "Hello VOA, congratulations to the Unified Forces and the Transitional Government for having held the graduation. Meanwhile, I urge the government to ensure increased salaries at least 50,000 SSP for each junior soldiers, as that can only keep them in the locations of assignment, and if not, then don't be surprised if you see them leaving military camps for a better living." Peter Gwanyang Majongdul in Arua, Uganda writes, "With the graduation of the long-awaited unified forces this week, I wish the forces will render the required security in the country, especially along major highways." Saber Isaac Hamis from Jabra in Khartoum, Sudan says, "Hello VOA South Sudan in Focus. The decision taken by the transitional government to graduate the unified forces is very significant to the peace agreement. Hope they will act professionally and have respect for human rights." Peter Dunia Cosmas from Imvepe Refugee Settlement in Arua, Uganda writes, "Hello VOA. I congratulate the government of the Republic of South Sudan for graduating the forces. My message to them is that all forces should respect human rights and the peace agreement, hence protect civilians, in regards to all in Avokaya community." Wanichi Bagai in Juba says, "It's good news for South Sudanese at large for the graduation of the first batch of unified forces to protect the civilians and the country in all borderline areas of South Sudan and military aggressions in our country. South Sudanese people, you refrain on tribal lines. Don't follow the politicians. Cooperate with other people. South Sudan belongs to all of us." Gachik Wichar in Juba says, "Hi VOA, the graduation of necessary unified forces is one of the significant steps the parties have ever achieved in the peace implementation. My message to all is to rally their support behind peace so that we can build our nation." Robert Nyombe in the Bidibidi refugee camp writes, "I am much pleased about the graduation ceremony of the Unified National Army. I hear that some of the soldiers had to graduate with all guns and sticks. That's something very funny. I don't know how the citizens and their properties will be protected since the guns are in limited numbers. The South Sudan government must do something. Otherwise, problem is being graduated." Thomas Kuntoj in Old Fangak Payam of Jongulay State says, "Hello VOA South Sudan in Focus. Bravo, bravo, President Kiir. This is what we expected from you. Graduation of the Unified Forces is a milestone in South Sudan. From today onward, nobody will fear seeing security personnel. Whenever you meet them, wherever, South Sudan becomes one people, one nation. Henry Thunder, a South Sudanese in Uganda, writes, "Hi, I am so happy for the decision and action that has been taken by our government concerning the Unified Army Force. I am so glad and hope that we shall soon return to our homeland from the refugee camps." Emma from Numuli says, "Hello, we believe the graduation of the Unified Forces will bring peace, security, and that the unnecessary killing by armed men will be reduced." By Guy Stephen Wani from Yei River County writes, "Hello John and Nabil, allow me to thank the civil society activist Edmond Yakani for mentioning the reality about our so-called politicians with their word SPLM Weye, which does not bear fruit. To be honest, I'm sick and tired of their word. Please God, in His own time, give us an excellent party and a leader who cares about humanity to lead us to glorious South Sudan." Francis Alex in Eastern Equatoria State writes, "Dear VOA, I am very glad of our leadership for the implementation of the roadmap. It's really a good move for our future. I wish all the holdout groups are included in this great move. For our country to succeed, we need to have unified army, police, wildlife, and all amongst other forces. Bravo to the leadership of the RT Gono." And finally, James Roy Majok from Unity State in Bantu Town writes, "I am expecting the South Sudan government to put in place good security for every citizen in the country to improve what we want the government to do." The comments heard here do not reflect the views of VOA or of this program. We appreciate hearing from so many of you. Keep those comments coming.
Keep your comments brief and we shall sample some of them every Friday. Our WhatsApp number is +1 202 630 8011. That's all we prepared for you this Friday. Don't forget to check us out on voaafrica.com for all your favorite programs and news updates. And for world news, go to voanews.com. If you missed this broadcast, go to voanews.com/South Sudan. We now leave you with Emmanuel Kembe and the song Celebrate.
Minati nyande minati kerleme kole halima nati jubongi nani nyawara kanati kiki shanta celebrate kuluyo kalena celebrate shanta celebrate kuluyo kalena celebrate you mother in marisa via you mom marisa via ana minati la
we have been listening to Emmanuel Kembe and the song Celebrate. I'm your host, John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for taking time to be with us this evening. Join us again next week for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.